Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
Mr. Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Yeah. Go Tigers.
Yes, Tigers. Fight killer.
What's up?
Yeah. We got a Thursday night special. Hey. It's like Thursday night football.
Uh-oh. Exactly like Thursday night football. The only problem is that, you know, again, we're definitely going to not be like the Jets and actually show up, man. But what a great night. So, again, kick it off. Your boy, I am feverishly trying to get home, but doing a little mobile thing. So, again, shout out to JQ. And we appreciate you as always, man. But
it's a team effort.
That's what I'm talking about. So let's kick this off here. We are, as Rob said, kicking off on a Thursday, like Thursday Night Football, February. December's flying by, as always. And JQ, how are you feeling today, sir?
Man, I'm good, man. I'm glad this call was on Thursday. It gave me a little time to settle down and not be so pissed off. I can't see my Buckeyes playing the Peach Bowl here in Atlanta, but it's whatever. So I'm good. How y'all doing?
Hey, we're doing good, man. Like I said, that's why I think Rob started like messing with us, man, doing it on a Thursday, man. But again, it's all good. Speaking of that, Mr. T. Rob, how you doing, bro?
Doing great, man. Ready to have some fun, talk a little sports tonight, man. Your team is in the playoffs, man. You just better be glad you've been not playing Clemson in Atlanta. It'll be like a home game for Clemson.
Hey, Ohio State travels. I don't know how to worry about that.
It's all good. Hopefully Curtis and Gary jumped on too, by the way.
Stay here.
JQ. But if not, that's what's up. All right, we'll get you guys in as always. And I want to give a shout-out to – we'll talk about shout-outs in a quick second before we get the party started. But, again, if you always want to reach out to your boys, call into the show. The number is always the same. It's the 424-243-9519. I got that memorized, man. I'm driving, and I got that number memorized. That's how crazy it is. I say it all the time.
That's right.
Follow us on Twitter at the number 12THMAN Sports. Follow us on Facebook if you go to facebook.com/talkingsports12, man. Or if you actually put in Talking Sports with us, we will have some fun with that too. And before we get started, we got a lot of things to recap. We're going to recap the Jets at the Ravens and if Lamar Jackson should be rested for the playoffs. But I mentioned it last week. Again, big shout out to Tad Arapoglu. That's my guy. I actually DJed his wedding, but he won. Again, like this ultimate tailgate where we invited 20 people out to hang out. Reed was the one. Man, it was fantastic. Jesse Tuggle from the Falcons was there. Had a chance to meet with Jesse Tuggle, take pictures. It was amazing, man. So we had fun. We were throwing the football around. I mean, how can you talk to a former Falcon, man? It was so cool, man, that we actually had a chance to do that. Took pictures, man. And Jesse Tuggle's not that big, man. I mean, he's about 5 foot, you know, 8 or so. But I was like, man, this dude's like laying hits. I mean, this dude is like, he's still yoked, man. But just what an amazing time to see something like that too, man. But again, shout out to Tad. Hopefully he'll call in. I think he had his holiday party like I had one. So if you see Tad calling in, JQ, again, hopefully he can come in and talk about that experience, man. We had such a great time too. So again, that's my little segue, if you will, too, man. So yeah, what an amazing time for sure.
Oh, yeah. Hey, man, my bad. That traffic was crazy. I think I got to up to the suite at like 1:15. It was stupid coming down the connection because people in Atlanta just can't drive. It's dumb. I don't have any words for it.
Yeah, I got you. All good. But anyway, hope you had a chance to enjoy stuff, man. We were like in the very top of the. I mean, again, the seats were like section like it was like 300. And we were like on the very top, man. I mean, it's like the very top of the dome, and that was nuts. So anyway, it's all good. Top of the
wow.
Season. Still a good seat, but yeah, it was all good. But with that being said, let's kick off a quick recap. I know that Curtis and Gary got a lot to talk about, especially whenever Troy Aikman was talking about the Jerry Jones, he was the one that had the ball to say something. We'll talk about that a little later, too. So let's get a quick recap. I'll let you lead it off to JQ. We'll kick it to Rob, and we'll kind of wrap it up in West Coast for sure. So go ahead with that, JQ.
We talking about the Ravens? I mean, the Jets, you know, actually the Jets moved the ball a little bit in that first half, but, you know, they missed the field goal. Then they had the turnover on downs, and then Lamar Jackson did Lamar Jackson things. So I'm not watching it right this second. When I left, I believe it was like 31-7 or 35-7. The Ravens are handling business, like Rob always talks about, being at home on Thursday night. Again, it's hard to pick against them right now. They're playing good ball. It's hard to defend Ingram and Lamar Jackson in that backfield. And then he pulls that ball down and he throws it. And they're going to be a problem. If that defense can hold up like they have been here for the past couple weeks, that Ravens team is really ridiculous. And as far as resting them, yeah. I mean, I get it. You know, people talk about rest versus rust. But with the way that they play football and what makes them productive as a Ravens offense is Lamar running the ball and that threat of him running the ball, I should say, which makes Ingram successful, which makes them able to play action pass off of it. So you don't want to get him hurt in a meaningless week 17 game. If you're Harbaugh, you got to find a way to simulate some of that kind of action during those 2 weeks when he's off, when week 17, and then you know, that first week when they get that bye. But, you know, he's not predicated on a timing passing game where other quarterbacks, I think, get hurt off of a rest for too long. He's like, yeah, we're going to play action pass. We're going to run the RPOs. We're going to run. But I think he's a little bit more immune to that kind of, you know, rust as other quarterbacks are. So if you get it locked up and you get a chance to keep him from getting other hits, I say you do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And just a quick update on the game. Ravens up 42-19 at the moment. Jets trying to score a two-point conversion to try to cut it to 21. But, yeah, it's been another Lamar Jackson show, running and throwing. I want to say he's got a total of 5 touchdowns in this game. The Jets converged to two-point conversion. So now the Ravens 42-21. 3 touchdown lead over the Jets. But yeah, it's been, like I say, it's been another Lamar Jackson show, running, passing. He'll pull down a fake run, guys pop wide open, he throw the football, they get big gains, and he's getting big gains in the running game as well. Ingram, another solid game. He's rushed for a touchdown, scored a 2-point conversion, he's caught a touchdown. So they just got it rolling right now. And I think I've been saying this for about 5 weeks now. The Ravens are clearly, in my opinion, right now the best team in football. And they're getting it done in all 3 phases of the game. And as JQ mentioned, the Jets they've shown some success as far as moving the football. And you're starting to see the development of Sam Darnold. He has gotten – you're starting to see him being worked that top 5 pick in the draft. And, you know, I think – If they keep progressing in this manner, you should see a better Jets football team next year. And, I mean, obviously they went for it for 4-1 inside the red zone. They didn't convert. I mean, that could have been an opportunity to at least get 3 more points. Probably still wouldn't have been enough, obviously, in this football game. But you're starting to see some progression with Sam Darnold. And as far as the rest factor with Lamar Jackson, I think, you know, once they officially clinch that number 1 seed, if they have that opportunity, whether that's 1 or 2 weeks left in the season, I think you have to, just because of his style of play, too. And, I mean, you just saw he hurt his quad this past week, too. And so I think if you have that opportunity, I think you definitely would resting him will be in their best interest, you know, for sustained success in the playoffs. And like I said, especially for his style of play, you want to limit the amount of hits. And, you know, he's a bigger guy than a lot of people think he is. He's like 6'2", 6'3", about 225 pounds. But still, I mean, like I said, his physical nature, the way he plays the game, you will want to get him some rest going into the playoffs because of his style of play. So if they have that opportunity, if they've clinched a particular seed, whether that's 1 week left or that's the next 2 weeks, then you definitely give him that opportunity to rest.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think if I'm not mistaken, if the Patriots lose this weekend, the Ravens clinch the number 1 seed.
They're not losing to Cincinnati. Stop that. They are not losing to Cincinnati.
Can lose to the Jets in 2 weekends. No, not Jets, Buffalo. If they can lose to Buffalo, yeah, after this weekend, if Buffalo can beat them, Buffalo's going to do the whole league a big favor.
Are they going to send their camera teams up there first, or how's that going to work?
Probably so.
Yeah, they probably already been kicked. They got a shutter film on Buffalo. But I wouldn't have thought they would have needed film on Cincinnati. So they need to be ashamed of themselves. They need to be ashamed of themselves if they think they need film on Cincinnati. God, they don't have no shame.
Gary Curtis, I just sent you guys a picture.
You're cheating against one win in Cincinnati, like for real. One win in Cincinnati, you're sending the film crews for. Come on, man. They got one damn win. What are you doing?
Yeah, that's like what I'm saying. Cincinnati? Are you serious? Man, they just must be criminals. It just must be in their blood. They don't know any other way to do anything.
Every team's a threat, thank you. Every team's a threat, man.
Yeah, they don't know how to
Come
do
on,
anything
man,
else.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Okay, sorry, guys.
Buddy, that's hilarious. Go ahead.
Okay, so we want to talk about some football here, huh? How about the best 6-7 team in the NFL, huh? What about the Dallas Cowboys? Best 6-7 team in the NFL right now.
I was reading, maybe
top three. I was looking at something though on the stats on these Cowboys, and something kind of struck me because this is the first time in Cowboy history where they've had a 4,000-yard passer, a 1,000-yard rusher, and a 1,000-yard receiver all in one season. I was shocked that that's this team now. And what Curtis and I were saying is, okay, you got all this offense, and they can't win a damn ball game. So it must be the coaching.
We're looking at that thing on HBO with Bill Belichick and the coach of Alabama. And one of the things that Nick Saban said was, you know, great players can't overcome bad coaching. He said it on this HBO thing. Great players cannot overcome bad coaching. So you got their roster looks so good, and they can't win. One of the things that I've heard with other pundits on talk radio, I've heard that the offensive coordinator just losses have come to defensive coordinators that have been in the league over 20 years, have all a ton more experience than the Cowboy offensive coordinator. And the Cowboy coordinator is getting killed by these guys that know football and know a lot more than he does. I'm going to say something about the Baltimore Ravens and their quarterback. That when I was a little kid and we were watching football with the other fellas that I was hanging out with, and that's when Pittsburgh was killing people, and Pittsburgh was winning those big games, and Pittsburgh was going to those Super Bowls. We used to think as little guys that one of our observations was it was Franco Harris right, out of bounds. Franco Harris left, out of bounds. Franco Harris up the middle, out of bounds. Franco Harris was running a lot of out of bounds. And I thought I saw Lamar Jackson doing a lot of that. Get 10, get the first down, get out of bounds. Go left, get the first down, go out of bounds. Go right, get the first down, out of bounds. I don't see anything wrong with that. And that's the way I think you keep him out of trouble. After this game, though, they're going to get 10 days, maybe 11 days. So this is going to be good for them to get this 11 days. And great pass to Kansas City on Sunday. For the Cowboys, that Monday night football game was terrible. And for the Cowboys, Philadelphia should not have won that game. You know, that was amazing. But it just didn't feel good as a Cowboy fan for Philadelphia to have done that.
Bum fight, as Jakey says. Go ahead, Gary.
A complete
bum getting back to the Cowboys and the coaching standpoint, and I mean, those are all some valid points in regards to the coaching. And I think right now, I think that is the problem with the Cowboys. I mean, every single week is to talk about Jason Garrett. And I think the team just feels the pressure right now. It's hard for them to go out and be loose and play football right now. And I think that's right now is their downfall. It's just they're just having a hard time overcoming it. You know, all the talk about Jason Garrett and the team and the coaching standpoint. I just think the team is just not loose. I mean, they're playing tight every single week, you know, trying to get over the hump right there. I mean, you mentioned a talent standpoint, and I know they have some injuries on the defense a little bit there too, but I just think Jason Garrett is tight, the team is tight, and it's just going to be so hard for them to overcome that. They haven't been able to overcome it the last several weeks, and it's going to be so hard for them to overcome that going forward. The remainder of the season, too.
Yeah, this is what we've seen with other teams that have gone through, you know, situations. Now, they're not dealing with an overzealous owner like Jerry Jones is, but there's still, you know, talk about, you know, look at what Tom Coughlin had to go through it when he was with, you know, when he was with the Giants. They're 6-7, right where the Cowboys are. And they circled the wagons, and they fought and clawed their way in and went to the Super Bowl and, you know, and beat a, you know, a good Patriots team. So there are teams that have done that, and maybe it is coaching, but you also have to look as a player is, hey, listen, we as players have to buck up, okay? We have to give more. And that's what I'm not seeing. So maybe it's just not in their character unless they've got that strong leader. But you have to be, if you want to win and you want to be that championship team, I mean, look at what Rob's team did when, you know, when their coach was suspended. You know, they circled around and they worked together as a unit, and that's what these great teams do. The Cowboys are not that great team. I wish they were.
Uh-oh.
I'm picking the Rams Uh-oh. This week.
Oh!
Ooh, wow!
Oh!
How about that for a bombshell, gentlemen? I'm picking the Rams.
I hate to tell you, I'm picking the Rams, too. The Rams are actually, if you look at how they played the last 3 weeks, the Rams are playing some really good football and probably a team you don't want to see if they make it into the playoffs. And, they're defensively, the addition of Jalen Ramsey, you're starting to see Wade Phillips being able to take advantage of having him available back there in the coverage from a coverage standpoint. They're really getting it done from a defensive standpoint. And Jared Goff has all of a sudden found a hot hand where he looked like he was falling into being the second-rate quarterback, but all of a sudden the last few weeks he's got a hot hand again. Gurley, still not Gurley of old, but still looking better. And the offensive line, most importantly, is looking better, too. They got a couple of young guys on an offensive line now that's really brought some juice. And, you know, that middle part of the season, that offensive line was starting to look pretty ragged, pretty horrible. So they got it going right now. And that was a pretty dominating performance in the way they beat the Seahawks the other night. And then if you go back and look at the way they played a few games prior to that, too, I think they're 8-5 right now. They're still on the outside looking in from a playoff standpoint. And I guess if you're the NFC East, you better be glad the Rams not in that division. They would be in first place. But
they would be in first place.
They're definitely a team that I don't think teams will want to see if they find a way to make it to the playoffs. Because right now, like I said, all of a sudden they've gotten pretty hot. I like them to go on the road to Dallas, too.
And good Lord, can you stop the jet sweep to Reynolds if you're the Seahawks? I mean, how many times can you do the jet sweep? We run on you for 8 to 10 to 15 yards before you stop it. But you're right. You know, I think the thing with that is that you get Cooks healthy. And you say, well, Cooks has not have been big in the stat category. No. But Cooks can take the top off of defense, so you have to account for him. And you see all that other stuff open up underneath in those running lanes. And you're right. Those two young guys playing guard and tackle on that, I think it's on the left side, they really have just reinvigorated
that.
And they got them really moving. Nobody's going to really bet on Jared Goff for sure. But they look better these past couple of weeks, and I'm with you guys. I got to take the rounds. I got to see the Cowboys do it.
Kirsch, what do you got?
I'm at the same way. I got to see the Cowboys do it. And if the Cowboys win this game, they're going to do the whole NFC a favor. Because if the Rams lose this game, they will not be going to the playoffs. Unless the Bears put Aaron Rodgers out and put Aaron Rodgers out of his misery, I'm picking the Packers to beat the Bears. But there may be a possibility that one of their rushers might bend Aaron Rodgers over. And if that happens, the Bears are going to win. I think the Titans are going to beat. The Texans are in trouble. I don't think the Texans are going to make the playoffs. I think the Titans are going to beat them twice coming down to the end of this thing. And it's probably only going to be one team out of that division make the playoffs, and that's looking like that's going to be the Titans.
Ryan Tannehill, man, he's all of a sudden just revived his career. He's looking phenomenal. Really being objective about this, if you really look at the last 4 to 5 weeks, Ryan Tannehill is playing like one of the top five quarterbacks in the game. When you look
at
his performance and his statistics, he's all of a sudden. So you got to wonder, what's the deal with Marcus Mariota? What happens now? Does he go somewhere and be a backup? Does he stay in Tennessee and be a backup? Does he go somewhere else and be a backup? Because at this point in his career, he's probably a backup quarterback for some teams now. And, I mean, Ryan Tannehill, like I said, he has all of a sudden got this Tennessee Titans team rolling. And I talked about, you don't want to see the Rams in the playoffs. You don't want to see the Titans in the playoffs in the AFC either. But Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry, the way he's running that ball, I mean, he is a man-child running that football, man. He is a beast. And he runs hard every single down. And then their defense, too. So I like the Titans at home against the Texans, too. I think the Texans still might have a shot as a wild card, but it looks like Tennessee is definitely that team in that division right now. They got it rolling. And then the other game that you mentioned, what was the other game you just mentioned? The Packers and the Bears.
Packers-Bears.
I like the Packers simply from the standpoint they're at home, but I think that game is going to be competitive. I think it's going to be really close.
Yep.
I think the Bears – you look at even the way the Bears have played the last 3 to 4 weeks, they're playing better as well. Trubisky's had like 3 good games in a row, surprisingly. And I think there's going to be a real close football game, but I think the Packers are going to edge them by a field goal, 24-21. I like that game to be really close and competitive. But I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers and a home field advantage by a field goal. But look for the Bears to make that game competitive, in my opinion.
All the games that we're going to predict on, this weekend is going to be awesome football, you guys, because all the games that we're picking are going to be awesome games. The only game that might disappoint us might be the Cowboys, but this Bills-Steelers game at the Steelers, I'm going to go with the Steelers. I'm going to go with Coach Tomlin at home.
That one was a tough one
game
for me, but I agree with you. That was a toss-up for me, the Bills on the road at Pittsburgh. But I'm going to go with Pittsburgh in a real close game, and I'm going to go to a low-scoring game, too. I'm going to go to like a 16-13 kind of game, real nasty, ugly game. But I think Pittsburgh wins a real close one at home. But this one was really a tough one for me to predict. But I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to go Pittsburgh really close.
I'm going with the Bills on that one. I think the Bills are going to do it on the road. Yep.
I agree. I think the Magic starts to run out because they finally see a for real defense. That Buffalo defense is serious. We talked about White playing that cornerback position. I think he has a good chance of locking down Juju. Or then you can kind of slide your coverage to everybody. Yeah, shut up. You can slide your coverage to everybody else. And I think Josh Allen with his feet, it was just enough. That's a tough sucker right there in Allen. And he doesn't get enough credit because everybody else, you got the Russell Wilsons and Lamar Jacksons and everybody else. But he's been a poor man's Lamar Jackson. I've been saying that for weeks. I go with the Bills. I think it's a really ugly game as well. You won't see a whole lot of offensive firepower. I think him and his legs do just enough to beat the Steelers and bring them down a notch. You know what? I'm going to be different on here. I know we talked about Tannehill and extension Mariota. Sometimes a change of scenery might be good. So I'm not going to write off Mariota yet. Mariota had a lot of different offensive coordinators. You saw how bad Adam Gase was for Tannehill. He moved over. Maybe that offense fits Tannehill better than it fits Mariota. Time will tell. But I'm not ready to write him off quite yet as just being a career backup. But if you're the Texans and you're Deshaun Watson and you're Hopkins, you look at each other like, this is our last stand. You know what I'm saying? This is the Alamo here. We gotta make it happen. And they find a way in those kind of games. Sometimes they look really ugly, and you're like, you write them off, and then they come back and play an amazing game. Deshaun Watson reminds you how special he is as a young quarterback. So I'm going to go with the Texans. And, yeah, I can't take Trubisky over Aaron Rodgers at Lambeau. I mean, the Bears, have they looked better? Yes, they have. But I think that Green Bay firepower and playing in Green Bay, I got to go with the Packers and Aaron Rodgers. You got to.
What I want to say, did Denver let the dog out? Did Denver expose that team for what they are? And I think in the NFL they might have. And if Denver exposed them like they got exposed this Sunday, man, they're in trouble in Texas.
They took it for granted. You play a bad team and you think you got them. You feel like you just put your shoulder pads on and your jersey on and say they're a bad team. We're a good team. We're going to win. And it came out flat. And I think that happens. But I feel like every time I want to say that about the Texans, they find a way to respond. Deshaun Watson finds a way to be special. So I'm betting on Deshaun Watson to be special in that game. If he's not special, they don't have a chance. He's got to be special to win that game. And also Derrick Henry, while it's quiet as kept, that hamstring isn't right. So to that other question, can you give a big bruiser running back that kind of contract? I would say no. I say you ride him till the wheels fall off and you try to re-sign him on your terms, but somebody wants to give him crazy money, you let them have at it. That big back with that kind of, you know, that kind of style and running into people in the NFL, it just doesn't seem to always work out. You can see, you know, Campbell, he's in a freaking golf cart trying to get around right now. It was great when the Orioles had him and he was, oh, go baby blue, and now he's in a golf cart and he can't walk. And that kind of bruises style catches up to you. So I don't know if I give him that kind of contract. But I just bet on Deshaun Watson being special. That kid finds a way when the chips are down to make a big play, and I feel like he's going to do it this week.
A little bit of breaking news here. Prayers go out to former NBA Commissioner David Stern, hospitalized right now. A little brain situation there. Prayers go out to David Stern. Obviously, a guy who revolutionized the NBA game and made it global. So hopefully he'll be okay.
Yeah, for real, though. Shout out to David Stern. I like David Stern.
Nice. Well, I love how the show just kind of takes its own little route. And I guess, JQ, you stole my thunder really quickly regarding Ryan Tannehill, man, because I was kind of saying the same thing. Like, and Rob, isn't that crazy how a couple years we thought that Tannehill was a bust? And you mentioned he didn't fit Gase's offense. Now he looks like a perennial, totally, like you said, a top five quarterback right now. So, again, it's maybe too soon to write off Mariota, but definitely Tannehill has a huge resurgence, and he is exactly what the Titans need, man. So we talk about just a complete turnaround. And again, you know, you said it earlier, Curtis, as far as how coaching plays a huge impact. Look at how that's happening right there in front of our eyes, man. So you got to have kind of the right situation for everything, man, for sure, man. So it's a very interesting, say the least, as well, man. So keeping this moving.
It's always interesting to go back and look at these drafts. So Ryan Tannehill came out in the 2012 draft. Do you guys realize who else was in that draft at the quarterback position?
Cam Newton?
I do not remember.
No.
Andrew Luck, RG3.
Wow.
Ryan, they were 1-2, Ryan Tannehill with number 8.
And he's still playing with a resurgence.
Wow, he looks
That's
like
crazy.
A world beater now. No one would have predicted that. You know, the way he's been playing.
Right.
I'm happy for him.
And it goes to Lamar Jackson over the 4 guys that got picked before he did.
Yeah.
And kudos to Baltimore for buying into Lamar Jackson. Smart football people. And, man, there's no substitute for smart football people.
Mm-hmm.
Ozzie Newsome making that draft. He's no longer with the Ravens anymore, but you talk about setting up a team for success. Ozzie Newsome has always been on the court. I mean, just a lot of – just that's amazing.
Yes.
So, again, you know.
Yes, he has.
Just setting the future, man.
He's looking
Speaking
at the 2012 draft. Again, you want to know who was number 3 in that draft?
Tell
Trent Richardson.
Wow.
Running back
wow.
Alabama. Now, right after Ryan Tannehill, Luke Kuechly. Now, obviously, he's been a stud. Stephon Gilmore, number 10, he's been a stud, obviously. Fletcher Cox, number 12, you know, he's been a stud as well. So there's some studs in that draft. And also at the quarterback position, Brandon Wheaton, number 22, quarterback for Oklahoma State. So, I mean, yeah. You go back and look at that. A lot of misses in the first round of that draft.
Look at Rob.
Justin Blackman, wide receiver, number 5. Did nothing.
He's on that drink.
Mm-hmm.
He's on that drink. He can't help himself.
Rob, speaking of, we're going to talk. I know this is courtesy here. You guys are going to have fun with the show because we're going to still talk about some Cowboys. Before we get to that, Rob, speaking of quarterbacks in the draft, what round do you think Tua will actually be drafted? So I'm curious about this. So what say you on that?
Well, it's also going to come down to the medicals, you know, and all indications are this is a surgery that he's going to recover from. So if he checks the boxes when it comes down to the medicals, I still expect him he's going to be a first-round pick. And I think it's going to be a toss-up. I think it's really going to be a toss-up between he and Justin Herbert, who's going to be number 2 quarterback in a draft. So at the moment, I don't see him going any higher than number 10, but I don't see him going any lower than about 30. So I know that's a wide range, and it's still a long way away from the draft, but I expect, you know, Tua to go somewhere between 10 and 30, but still be a first-round pick in his draft. And maybe he gets an opportunity to sneak into the first round, depending on what happens with what teams are in this top 10. But, you know, obviously one thing we do know for sure, Joe Burrow is the number 1 quarterback in this draft and possibly number 1 overall pick in the draft too. But it's going to come down to Justin Herbert and Tua for that second quarterback position slot in this draft. But clearly, if medicals come back, he's still a first-round pick.
I agree. I think he's going to go in the first round. I don't think he's going to beat Herbert for a while. I think it's going to happen. I think he's going to check off the boxes, but I think the GMs are going to kind of try to play that BS game where, well, no, I heard that he's still hurt, and wink, wink, and hoping that people feed off on that BS that they're feeding so they can try to sneak back into the bottom part of that first round to go get him. So I think he's in that 20 to 30 kind of slot in this draft just because of what has happened, and people are going to be a little scared, and they're going to try to spread misinformation about him. And that's why, for me, for my Bengals, we talked about it, I would love to take Chase Young and then try to, if you see Tua start to slip, come back into the bottom part of that first round and get him. I think that's what's going to happen for him. But, yeah, I think it's really special. If he hadn't gotten hurt, there's no question he goes in the top 10, probably top 5 or 6. But I think he slips a little bit just because of that. And some GMs are a little wary, like, yeah, it checked out. But just because his medicals checked out, can he still be the same guy that we saw on the field? But when they start to see him slip, people are going to be looking at each other like, we should probably give up the 3rd and 5th round pick to move back up into the first round to come get him. So
yes,
I think that's what you see happen to Tua in this draft coming up.
Yeah.
Just have a gas mask.
And you got to be, you know, I know there's going to be some concern with is he an injury-prone player because it seemed like every year he's had some type of injury. Obviously, this is the first time he's had one of this magnitude. So, I mean, you know, what kind of concern teams are going to have from that standpoint, from an injury standpoint. But definitely, there's no question about his accuracy when you talk about throwing a football. There's no question in his ability.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree also. What I want to say, though, I've heard other pundits comparing him to Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow didn't start and got beat out at Ohio State. Joe Burrow had to leave a school because he wasn't playing to go to another school to play. Joe Burrow, the first year he was with LSU, we didn't see this.
No.
It was only this year. Yeah, it's only this year we've seen this. Where Tua, he was the number one recruit right out of high school. And we saw, and a lot of people are talking about this, in the SEC, the best conference in college football, as a freshman coming in, he's going to beat out Jalen Hurts as a freshman. Well, and he's been the man. There's nobody that beat him out in the best conference in football on one of the best teams in football from since he was a freshman. So, but you can't deny the injury history. You can't. And when he gets past his rehab and he gets the doctor's assessment, that's the whole ball game.
Yeah. And, you know, those are some really good points. I mean, coming into this season, Joe Burrow was a second or third day draft prospect.
Yep.
I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, did he have a solid year last year for LSU? Yes. But, yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody could have predicted the kind of year he's had. But, you know, we talked about coaching earlier, and Joe Burrow's development has been clearly coaching. LSU hiring Joe Brady away from the Saints and running the Saints offense this year has been the true blessing for Joe Burrow. And for him getting that kind of coaching in an NFL-style offense and now scouts seeing him run an NFL offense, that has elevated, that has really catapulted his career. And obviously Joe's put in the work, so you can't put all of it on Joe Brady. You got to get some of it to Joe Burrow too for putting in the work and the effort. But that was a marriage made in heaven, and that's really going to catapult his NFL career. But check this out: he's going to be a rookie in the NFL next year, and he's going to be older than Lamar Jackson.
Wow,
that's crazy. And the thing about it is, it's all about timing, right? Because, I mean, as an Ohio State fan, you know, I watched the spring practice and whatnot, and Dwayne Haskins hasn't checked the boxes off nearly like he should have for Washington, but that's a different story. But going into last year, Dwayne Haskins was a better quarterback, and you saw that translate into on the field of play. I mean, he threw 50 touchdown passes last year, was a Heisman finalist. And Burrow went to LSU, and he learned, and, you know, he took his lunch. But then you're right, getting Brady and getting that talent around him, it elevated him, and it's how it works out. He moves on. Justin Fields goes to Ohio State, and we have what we have now for this year. So a lot of times it's all about time and then who you get in your career, where you are in your career, whether it be professional or college. And it just works out the way.
Yep.
And I think, honestly, it's worked out for everybody except for Georgia because Jake Fromm just sucks. But for everybody else, it's worked out pretty well. I mean, it's true. Jake Fromm sucks. Don't get me started on how Georgia's still number five because I still don't understand that. I don't.
That was a head scratcher for me too when I saw that they just dropped one spot after that game. That was a head scratcher.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, gentlemen, do you have time for a feel good story tonight? I got a story to tell you. All right. So I'm working with this guy, entry level employee, nice guy, high integrity guy. Him and his wife, they go to Las Vegas. They go to Las Vegas and they don't have a lot of money, and they went down there because his wife plays bingo. So she enters these bingo competition thing, and she won $10,000. And then the next game, she won another $10,000. So
wow.
after taxes, they came home with around $16,000. And as soon as they got home, he went over to his parents' house and he gave his mom and dad $3,000. He went over to his in-laws' house and he gave them a couple of thousand dollars. He called up his older brother and he said, I've never been able to do anything really great for my older brother. So he called up his older brother and he says, how much is your mortgage this month? And he told him what it was and, you know, a couple thousand bucks, whatever. He paid that. And then he said, nice. Well, we better do something for your younger sister, honey. So they went. He went and he paid her rent. And, you know, the one thing he had to say to me after all this, he says, we're going to get together and we're going to have this great meal. And nobody's going to have any financial worries this year in our family. And he said, Gary, this is going to be the best Christmas we've ever had. And I said to him, I said, thank you for sharing that with me. I'm going to mention this on air. It has nothing to do with sports, but it has everything to do with, you know, the Christmas spirit and the spirit of giving.
Life.
And I just thought it was a fantastic story. So I'm not mentioning any names. I'm just mentioning that this man has got the utmost integrity, and I'm proud to know this young man. So that's my story.
That's an awesome story. Yeah. And perfect message for this season, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I found $200, and I gave her $40, because when the Lord blesses you, God bless other people.
Oh my God. I knew that was coming, JQ. I knew that was coming, JQ.
I was thinking. That was funny, JQ.
That was pretty funny, man.
You gave that $20 to the guy at that the liquor store, and he handed you that fifth.
I love it. Thank you again for sharing that, Gary. That's awesome. We got about 19 minutes left in the show here, but again, we definitely want to, you know, as we segue, that is definitely what it's all about. You know, Christmas is always my favorite time of the year because on the outside, people seem a little nicer because, you know, it's the holidays and they're in that Christmas spirit too. Then, you know, in spite of the craziness as far as, you know, stress and shopping and sometimes, but it is good to kind of think people are nicer during the time of the year too. So again, 1,000% awesome that you brought that up for sure too. We're going to talk about fantasy shout-outs really quickly, but I guess we'll talk about that, Rob, because I do want to segue about the rumors about Nick Saban becoming a candidate for the Cowboys. But then I also want to talk about what Troy Aikman said. He's the one that had the balls to actually come out and talk against Jerry Jones because there's a lot of yes men there, and you know he's basically said Jerry should not be the GM too. So you talk about those words and impact, and we've always said that, you know, Jerry's kind of in his way for the Cowboys, but we'll talk about that. Rob, to finish shutouts, and then we probably got about a good 15 or so minutes to kind of dive into that and kind of wrap the show up too. But go ahead with that, Rob.
All right, fantasy shoutouts for the week. We're gonna start with league number one, the winner of the week, Sean from Atlanta. His team, Purple and Gold Patrol, had the biggest win of the week. It beat Big Fast and Strong 192.16 to 104.22. Monsters of the Midway, that's Paul from Atlanta. His team's in first place with a 10-3 record. League number two, the biggest win of the week, Willie from El Paso, Texas. The EP Diablos with a 180.86 win over playoffs 81.29. Kid Kev 23, that's Kevin in New Orleans. His team had the best record with a 10-3 record. League number three, our co-host, JQ, Ohio Players, has the biggest win of the week. 162.88 to Kraken, 97.96. And Larry in Houston, his team, Saints Pelicans 23, 11-2. League number four, my team, We the Best. Had the best win, 142.30 to 103.18 over Baby Got Backfield. Andre's team in first place with a 10-4 record. And the fantasy basketball shout-outs, Paul in Atlanta, his team Madhouse on Madison had a 9-0 victory over the Jute. And Ronald from New Orleans, his team Saints Pelicans 23 in first place with a 46-17 record. And those are our fantasy shout-outs in the week. And obviously we are in the fantasy playoffs in all four of our leagues going into the semifinals this coming weekend.
Hey, hey, Dre, you want to talk about it? No,
go
I know you want to talk about it. It's okay. No, no, yeah,
ahead,
we don't have to talk
congrats.
About it. We talked about it last
congrats,
week, but you
man.
Know, it's
congrats, man.
Yeah, you know,
it's good, man.
So I'm,
yeah,
so
man.
I'm
it's
only, I'm only in two of those four leagues, but I'm in the semis, and I'm in three of those four leagues. So I'm in semis in two of those leagues. So hopefully, I can at least get one to keep it going for the show. So we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Congratulations, man. Like I said, the 1 week my guys decided not to show up, man. It's all good, man. Congrats, man. So, you know, again. man, the one time I get Lamar, I had Lamar Jackson the opposite league. I just picked him up on a whim, and then that's what's carrying me. So, but other than that, it's the one game I have played JQ. I'm like, man, this is going to happen. So, you know, again, you know, congrats, bro. So, keep it going for us, man. So, I got nothing.
I'm
going to
try.
15 minutes here as we keep this moving. So Curtis and Gary, again, you guys are probably would want to be talking about the Cowboys in better circumstances, but you know, hey, the Cowboys, they're you know they're the talk. So we'll talk about Nick Saban as a candidate, and then what do you guys think about Troy Aikman's comments about having a lot of yes men and giving him credit for having the balls to say Jerry is not should not be the GM. Go ahead, guys.
Well, I think that, you know, if you're talking about Troy Aikman, you're talking about someone that's been there, experienced those sort of things firsthand, knew the locker room back in the day and, you know, knows Jerry Jones personally. So he's able to say that. And so, you know, I would agree with someone like that, that has been there, that knows firsthand. And I think he's dead on with that. Jerry Jones is the best marketing genius in sports, in any sport, but, you know, he's made a team that is a 500 ball club or less relevant on all of these different podcasts and sports shows and things like that. People want to talk about him. Love him or hate him, people want to talk about him. I think Jerry Jones needs to take a step back and I think turn the reins over to his son, I think would be a better move. As far as coaching, I don't think Nick Saban would not be my first choice as a coach, as an NFL coach, great college coach. For me, he wouldn't be my first choice as an NFL coach. Curtis, what do you got?
Well, you know, me and you were just talking. Can you imagine? I don't think Jerry's wired this way. I don't think Jerry's wired. Nick Saban comes in and they win the Super Bowl. Who's going to get the credit? See, what I think is wrong, what I think is totally wrong with the Cowboys is Jerry. And I really think Jerry needs a coach to come in and tell Jerry, get out of here. When we win the Super Bowl, I want you to come down to the podium and grab the trophy, and you can do whatever you want to do then. Other than that, get out of here. Don't be around. And I don't think Jerry can do that. I don't think Jerry can get a coach, a real coach.
Yeah, Jerry's not going to bring in a guy with a strong personality like Nick Saban. I just can't see that. I think – and I know there's some talk about Urban Meyer too. Personally, I think you know if you are looking at college route, I think Lincoln Riley would be better fit as an NFL head coach. And I mean, you've seen him be innovative. You see the way he's even revived Jalen Hurts. You see the way he's coached Kyler Murray and the Baker Mayfield. They got two Heisman winners there in the last couple of years. Lincoln Riley might, if you're going to go the college route, he might be the guy. Right up the road who might be more successful and, you know, who probably won't have as strong of a personality as Urban Meyer or Nick Saban, too. And they probably would mesh a little bit better. You know, to steal the line from Sanford and Son, Jerry, are you a man or are you a cream puff?
Oh my gosh. Listen.
Give me one more shot and I'll tell you.
The thing about that is that we assume that Lincoln Riley is not a strong-willed coach. And we just don't know because, you know, he's not long enough in the game at that role where we have the evidence of a Nick Saban and Urban Meyer. Lincoln Riley might be that kind of guy on the low, and we just don't know about it like that, right? So I don't know if we can make that determination, but I would say that that Jerry Jones is sitting back when he talks about the story but Bill Belichick being fired in Cleveland, and Bill Belichick said, hey, don't forget about me, and he did. And he saw Bill Belichick go on to New England and have that kind of power and win and have, you know, they're all billionaires, owners. He's looking at Robert Kraft, and I'm sure they're friends. And it's like, well, damn, you know, I've already missed once where I let Jimmy Johnson go, where I had a strong head coach with a strong will, and I wanted to have all the credit, and we haven't done shit since then.
Ego.
So if you're Jerry Jones, at some point you have to maybe look at yourself in the mirror and say, hey, I might need that guy. You can only be that guy if you're successful, though. So the guys we talked about, the Nick Sabans, the Urban Meyers of the world, those guys have been successful. So they have enough cachet to come in and say, hey, Jerry, you know, you sit down in the corner, go buy some more artwork for the stadium, wherever you and your wife want to do, you know, spend some money on the kids. Do whatever you need to do, but let me handle this piece of it. And I think at this point right now for Jerry Jones, he might be more susceptible to be like saying, okay, you know what, I need to fall back. If this guy, a proven commodity guy with that kind of head, headstrong personality. You can't have a 500 kind of coach come in and be headstrong and try to tell Jerry Jones to go sit down. That wouldn't work. But Nick Saban and Urban Meyer, not that they will win Dallas, but they have enough, you know, clout with them at this point where he can say, you know what, I've seen this story before, and we won, and then I messed it up, and now we're trying to get back to that level. Maybe I need to let this guy just go ahead and handle things and not step in when it just gets really bad. But I don't anticipate it being really bad because it's never happened like that for them because they're those kind of coaches. They have that kind of clout and they have that kind of aura where they can bring guys together and they put their finger on a program or on a team. So I'm not going to totally kill Jerry on it right now. Maybe 5 years ago, no, Jerry's not open to that. But at this point, given what's happening, when he's built that kind of, you know, talent on the roster, like, why can't I get my roster with this talent to do better? If he gets a coach to come in and succeed with that kind of headstrong personality, I think he's more to be like, you know what, I need to fall back a little bit. I think he's at that point now in life. I don't think he was there 5 years ago, but right now he might be there. He wants to win. He wants Dallas to be a winner. He wants to win. So if he has to take a slight step back, but like you said, you come down and grab this trophy and act a complete monkey on the podium, how about it, Jerry? Act a fool on the podium when we win the Super Bowl. But until then, I'm running things. I think that's what he needs. I think to the point he's not going to ever admit it out in public, but I think he sees it right on the wall of, I need that guy in my organization to make, let's get to the next step.
Wow. Wow, good job, JQ, on that recap. Everyone, good job, Chris, Gary, Rob. did you get something in there, Rob? You're good, right? Everything like that, right?
You're missing one potential coach, though. What about Peterson, who just left the Huskies?
Washington. Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to wonder if he's maybe pulling an Urban Meyer and like just needs a year or two off, maybe. that's what I'm gathering about Peterson. Maybe he just, you know, sometimes the guys just need a break. I mean, coaching is very intense for a lot of these guys. And I'm thinking that's what Peterson is doing. I'm thinking he's trying to sit out a year or two, but and maybe get another coaching job. But I just can't see Nick Saban going back to the NFL, though. I mean, he would try to go back on Miami. I don't think the college game was a good fit for him. And I just don't see that, especially at this age, too. I don't see him going back to the NFL game. That's just my personal opinion. I would love for him to leave Alabama, though.
This story popped up on over here in Oregon. You know, after Oregon won that Pac-12 championship, we got pictures, news up here got pictures of Mario Cristobal at 11 o'clock at night visiting on a recruit trip in Southern California right after he won. The coaching staff for Oregon did not fly back with the team that night. The coaching staff for Oregon were in Southern California recruiting after the Pac-12 championship.
They better, because they ain't going to find no talent in Oregon. So they better get
Hey,
California.
Wow.
So they better get on that plane down to Southern California. But, yeah, I mean, Les Miles Ward. I don't want to say that name. But Ed Orgeron, the same way. LSU, the day after they won the SEC championship game, Ed Orgeron was recruiting the Sunday, the day after the SEC title game. LSU didn't even have a watch party to see, you know, where their seating and everything was going to be. Ed Orgeron was out recruiting on Sunday, the day after the SEC championship game as well.
But they knew what was going to happen. That's why. They knew what was going to happen. Don't get me started, man. They knew what was going to happen. Once they mollywopped Georgia, they said, ooh, they beat number four Georgia in their backyard. You knew they were going to be the number one seed. I text you that. Even when Ohio State was down, I said, if they come back and win, they already have lost the number one seed because they were down 21-7 in the first half, playing a team they've already played. So this team knows exactly what you want to do. And LSU played an overranked Georgia team. Let's just be honest about it. I mean, they were.
Wow.
Think about it like this. Think about it like this in terms of comparison. Alabama lost to LSU by a single score. Alabama lost to Auburn by a single score. They are 13th in the country. Georgia is 5th. I mean, come on, man. Like, what's happening right now? That was already
Georgia beat Auburn, though.
Already a done deal. It don't matter. Think about it. Georgia lost to 4-8 South Carolina. 4-8 South Carolina.
They beat Georgia and Florida, though. Georgia. They beat Auburn and Florida. And Florida is another team that beat Auburn, too. So, I mean, you know, I understand what you're saying. Georgia was not healthy offensively going into that game, but they were healthy defensively, and that was the strength of their team. They had their full strength. They had their full strength defensively, but you know, I've said before, I said I don't know if there's a defense in the country that can stop LSU's offense. And I mean, Auburn probably came close, but I also feel like LSU left a lot of points on the field in that Auburn game. They made some dumb mistakes in that game. I mean, you got to tip your hat to Auburn. They did good. They held LSU to 23 points in that game. But I don't know if there's a defense in the country that can stop LSU. And if you're going to beat them, you're going to have to outscore them. And obviously Alabama came the closest to doing that, you know, in the shootout. And because I just haven't seen the team slow down this offense this year. And but like I said, Auburn came the close. But when Ohio State was the number one seed, I didn't have a problem with that. And I was telling other LSU fans, I said, you got to just let the – I mean, at that moment, you know, I clearly thought Ohio State was the best team in the country. And I'll be perfectly honest with you. LSU, Ohio State, and Clemson, they all look damn good to me, all three of them.
They do.
And I don't know, and it's hard to say out of the three – Now, the way LSU finished the season the last 3 weeks and how they played better on defense, it's hard to see. It's hard to say who's the best team out of those three. And hopefully LSU is not taking Oklahoma lightly either, you know, out of this group here as well. But it's hard to see. It's hard to say who's the best team out of those three. And I think when you look at overall resume and the time of some of LSU wins, it's – You know, like I said, I didn't have a problem when Ohio State was ranked one. I can't say that I have a problem now that LSU is ranked number one. One thing is clear, I think Clemson looks damn good right now, but they just didn't have the resume of LSU and Ohio State. They're seated perfectly where they should be. I think Clemson is definitely capable when you look at their roster. When you look at their wide receivers, too, quietly, Clemson's got some really good wide receivers. Strong running game with Travis Etienne, and of course with Lawrence and that offensive line. Got one of the best safeties in the country as well on defense. So this is another team that's going to be a tough out. And then, of course, you look at Ohio State with Justin Fields and Dobbins, and you look at Chase Young as well and Jeff Okuda. And then we, of course, with LSU with the receivers that they have and Joe Burrow. And the running backs that LSU have, and the secondary that LSU has, so it's hard to say, and I guess that's what's going to make this playoff kind of exciting. I don't know.
You got to wrap it up.
Seen, I don't know if we've seen a better group of quarterbacks in the college football playoffs ever. When you look at Joe Burrow, Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence, and Jalen Hurts, I don't know if we've seen this kind of quarterback group in a college football playoff.
You got to try the 30 seconds.
So, everybody, we appreciate y'all for listening to the show. We'll be back on the air next Wednesday. We're going to do it on Christmas? Not Christmas. We'll be back on the air next Wednesday. If not, we'll keep you guys posted. We'll be ready to cut us off going for the live portion. We appreciate you because I'm going to have some talk about this because I disagree with what I was just talked about to a point. But everybody, I love y'all for tuning to the show. Please download this link. It's going to be fantastic to listen to the rest of it. And we appreciate y'all. You guys go ahead and say goodbye because we probably are into the OT at this point.
Good night. Next Wednesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, people. We'll be back on air live.
I was hoping you gave Rob the heads up with the thing. Yeah, good, good.
I was trying, but he was on his spiel. This is why I disagree. They have LSU has the best win of beating Alabama. Yes, you say the last 3 weeks, Ohio State has beaten Penn State at home, Michigan on the road, and Wisconsin for a second time. LSU has not had to play a team for the second time. You're talking about somebody that's in your conference that knows exactly what you want to do, and it's basically, okay, we know what you want to do, we know what you want to do, who's going to win it? And we came out flat in the first half, and I give you that. But you still win
by
double digits.
That's not LSU's fault.
No, I'm not saying that. But let's talk about non-conference. We didn't play an AFC opponent. LSU did. All three opponents that Ohio State played in non-conference all played in their conference championship games last Saturday, and two of them won. And Cincinnati lost by one score in the last minute and a half. So if we're going to talk about the whole breadth of a resume and not just what you see.
Are you talking about Cincinnati's and the Central Michigan's of the world?
I am. Well, you played an FCS opponent. We played three teams that went to the conference championship games. Does that not matter anymore when we talk about strength of schedule?
When we played Texas, Texas was healthy and their defense was healthy, and they were a top 10 team in the country.
And they finished 7-5.
Because of injuries.
Get out of here. Stop that. They played 7-5. They Texas. They can't lose it. Iowa State and Kansas State. They Texas. They 7-5,
Cincinnati
bro.
Cincinnati did not
that.
Play in the Big 12. Cincinnati would be 6-6 at best if they were in the Big 12.
No, they wouldn't. The Big 12 is trash. Get out of here. You saw Oklahoma play Baylor twice. They had to go into overtime the second time they played Baylor. But nobody talks about that.
Cincinnati would have beat Oklahoma?
Not Oklahoma. How you jump from Texas to Oklahoma? We talking about
You think they would have beat Baylor?
Tell me who y'all played in y'all non-conference. Was Arkansas State, Texas, and somebody else that's terrible? Like, if we're going to talk about the whole strength of schedule, then why even bother to play anybody that is not a big-name school? Because you're not going to get any credit for it. And that's where Ohio State lost. We played Texas. Ooh. We played Texas A&M. Well, they were both clearly overranked because there are 4 or 5 lost teams. I mean, come on, man. Texas is 7-5. We still talking about that as a good win? Like, they're 7-5. Like,
There's something to be said about where they were ranked when we played them.
No, it's something to be said about where you finished. That was the first game of the season. They finished 7-5. Come on, man. Like, I'm just saying, they're 7-5. They was 9-3. We can talk about it. But 7-5? Like, what bowl game is Texas in? Do we even know? Does anybody know what bowl game Texas is playing in? No, we don't, because they're 7-5 and nobody cares. That's my point. So let's just stop giving them a big name because they're Texas. But they're 7-5 Texas team. Texas is not bad.
Do you think Wisconsin, Penn State, and Wisconsin, Penn State? And I'm not taking anything away from Ohio State. I'm really not. You know, I've said all year, most of the year, I've said they're the best team in the country. And I think going into this playoffs, I think it's really three teams that are, from my eyes, that are almost fairly equal, and that's LSU and Ohio State and Clemson. So I'm not taking anything away from Ohio State, but you're not going to convince me that Wisconsin, and like I said, this is not to take anything away from Ohio State, because like I said, most of this year I've said they were the best team in college football, and I still stand by that. They're either the best or definitely one of the best teams in college football. But you're not going to convince me that Wisconsin and Penn State, Michigan, and that paint-dry Big Ten offense is as good as Georgia, Auburn,
Georgia,
Florida,
Georgia,
and Alabama.
Have you seen Georgia play? Have you seen Georgia play outside of them play LSU? Georgia is hot trash on a stick on offense.
Georgia beat Auburn. Georgia beat Florida. Georgia beat Notre Dame.
Well, Notre Dame is also trash. Just because you put a big name out there, don't make them good. Notre Dame is hot trash on the stick as well. Come on, man. Listen.
All
and,
right.
And let me, if everybody listens.
So you don't think Wisconsin is trash? You know, with
well,
you know, those guys on the perimeter running the 6-4-40?
They're not running 6-4-40. You stop that shit. Listen,
Penn State,
I'm not taking
some guys on the 8-5-40?
I'm not taking anything away from LSU. LSU has one heck of a ball club. No question about it. My only beef with it is taking one game at the end and jumping them over Ohio State and saying we're going to take the whole breadth of what's happened over the year and just say they're better.
They
not
did the
better,
same thing when LSU beat Alabama. They moved LSU to one, and then when Ohio State came back and beat Penn State, they moved Ohio State. What's the difference? They moved Ohio State over LSU because they beat Penn State.
Because Georgia is trash, and they shouldn't. They kept Georgia at five to justify
Georgia
LSU
was number,
being number
four
one.
In the country. They just was not in LSU's league.
Okay, let me ask you this, Mr. SEC. In all your watching of
Curtis
college
said
this year,
best early,
all the games,
best conference.
Curtis
football.
Gary, sorry guys.
Let me ask you this. Do you honestly believe that Georgia is the fifth best team in the country? Are they better than Oregon? Shit, no. How do you put them over Oregon? Oregon's a two-loss team, just like Georgia, but they won the Pac-12, and they're above Oregon in the final rankings? Come on, man. That's the SEC bias. That's why the rest of the country hates what's happening right now, because Georgia has been overrated this whole year. There's no way Georgia should have been fourth. There's damn sure no way it should be fifth right now. You know that's the truth. I mean, we can talk about Auburn and Florida. They're good schools, but Georgia still being fifth is ridiculous.
Yeah. But, I mean, you just said it. You just gave Auburn props, but Georgia beat Auburn. And that's what the committee is looking at. The committee is looking
Georgia
at the
sucks,
entire
bro.
Body of work. You just mentioned Alabama and Auburn are good schools, but Georgia beat Auburn. Georgia's defense.
Georgia play. JQ, what you're talking about, and one of the things that's being talked about, is that some conferences – require you to play 9 conference games, and some conferences only require you to play 8 conference games. And one of the things that while Oregon was down there losing to Arizona State, Alabama played, I think they played Panera Bread.
It was
Alabama A&M, one of those.
Yeah,
you know, Nick Saban said it best. Nick
Saying.
Saban said that, you know, and by all means, I'm not trying to take up for Alabama because I don't like Alabama. Yeah, I think you guys know that already. but Nick Saban has said they have tried to schedule schools, and schools don't want to play them because they're scared they're going to get lost. And
Alabama don't want to go play outside of the South. Hey, that's documented. Alabama does not want to play above the Mason-Dixon line. They do not.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
You know
above Atlanta.
The furthest they'll go is Texas.
Right. That's the furthest they'll go. I give LSU a ton of credit for playing Wisconsin at Lambeau Field. I give them credit for doing that. Alabama ain't trying to do that, bro. Come on. I'm not saying that to disparage LSU, so I don't want people that's listening to the show to think that I'm disparaging LSU. LSU has one hell of a team. They're going to be a problem for whoever they play, whatever team they were going to be at. I just have a problem with the bias of the committee of how they do it for one team and not do it for another team with the same set of circumstances. That's all I'm trying to say.
As I said earlier, they did the same thing for Ohio State. They did the exact same thing. When LSU beat Alabama, obviously the LSU went on the road and won in Alabama, and they moved LSU to one. And then a couple of weeks later, after LSU annihilated after LSU defense looked kind of horrible against Ole Miss, but then LSU bounced back and they annihilated Arkansas and Texas A&M.
Arkansas.
Ohio State beat Penn State. So they moved Ohio State back to one after beating Penn State, and LSU had just beat Alabama a couple of weeks ago. And I didn't have a problem with that.
They beat three straight top 11 teams in a row. That's crazy.
When LSU beat Alabama, Ohio State was beating these no-name schools, too. Like all those low-lying Northwesterns and all those low-lying Big Ten teams, and they did the same thing. They moved LSU to one end, and then when LSU started playing some of the lower schools in the SEC, Ohio State went to beat Penn State. They moved Penn State. So now LSU went back to the championship game, beat a higher-ranked team with a better resume, and they moved LSU back to one. So they did the same thing for Ohio State. So I don't know how you didn't think that was going to happen.
Because Georgia, especially the way
it had been different if LSU struggled against Georgia. They did.
The problem is Georgia.
You knew that game really could have been a lot worse than what it was, too. I mean, LSU could have probably put 50 on that scoreboard if you really watched that game.
That's for sure. I did watch that game, and I agree with you on that. So I guess the crux of the argument is that Georgia was fraudulent from the beginning. They kept Georgia in a fraudulent position, and then they rewarded LSU for beating a fraudulent Georgia team.
Yeah.
And that's where the rest of the country's like, man, Georgia's
But the
Georgia
committee, but you got to look at it from a committee standpoint, too. You got to look at the fact that Georgia's resume, Georgia beat Florida, Georgia beat Auburn, and Georgia beat Notre Dame. Wisconsin didn't have those kind of victories. Penn State didn't have those kind of victories. Michigan did not have those kind of victories. So when you look at it from the committee standpoint, and like I said, it's not, you know, I'm not trying to take anything away from Ohio State, but that when a committee looks at it, they, I've said all year I thought Ohio State was the best team in the country. But when you look at it from the committee, they're looking at Georgia as a team that has wins against quality opponents. Wisconsin, Penn State, Michigan, they didn't have any of that. When you look at their wins, they didn't have any of those kind of quality wins. Wisconsin lost to Illinois. And Illinois, you know, solid, but they're not
Georgia
great.
Georgia lost to South Carolina.
I know, but Wisconsin had more than one loss. Georgia only had one loss. But Georgia also had – Georgia had the wins. Those schools did not, and that was the difference. And I agree with you. I mean, Georgia was not healthy offensively in that SEC title game. But their defense was healthy, and they could not keep up with LSU.
George,
they could not
stop
LSU.
I knew it. I'm sorry, Andre. I thought I was over it. I guess I'm not.
But when you look at it from the committee standpoint, Georgia had the quality wins. Wisconsin, Penn State, Michigan, and Cincinnati. None of those teams had quality wins on their schedules.
Wow, I cannot believe that took like 20 minutes for that dog trap, man. It's all good, man. I was gonna.
What we're dealing out here on the West and the Pac-12 just dealing with, we seem to just get snubbed out here over and over and over again. So. There's something that's got to change there, and I've heard some smart people say one of the things got to change uniformly. These conferences have to pick if they're going to play 9 conference games or if they're going to play 8 conference games. That kind of levels out the playing field. Then maybe you extend this out, maybe to 6 teams, you know, some kind of way. So we don't always get snubbed out here in the West. And that is an issue because this is, you know, as quiet as it's kept, the Pac-12 is a Power 5 conference, but boy, we don't seem to get any respect in that.
Gotta earn the respect.
Yeah, well, you know, you look at it, I mean, JQ made a good point. I think Oregon is a real good football team. I'm not taking anything away from it, but they got to win that game against Arizona State. I mean, that's just the bottom line. And you got to win those games. You got to find a way to beat Auburn.
That's right. You can't go in there and wet the bed.
They will beat Auburn most of that game. They got to find a way to win in one of those football games.
Like I said at the time, look who was coaching down there at Arizona State. Holy smoke. That,
yeah.
Well, but they should have known better, though. But, man, Herb Rivers and even
Marvin
the
Lewis.
Old coach. Yeah.
Lewis, yeah.
Yeah, boy, they were laying. They were laying for Oregon. Golly, they were laying for Oregon.
Yeah. Hey, if Oregon win one of those games, if Oregon beats
That's
Arizona State or Auburn, hey, it's a very good chance that Oregon is in this playoff over Oklahoma.
Mm. But it's not fair, though, to say that. Oregon is a two-loss conference champion, and they're sitting behind a two-loss Georgia team who lost to a 4-8 team in front of them. I can't understand how you rationalize that. I just can't understand that. We both have two losses. You're a loss.
Oh, I'm not saying I agree with
that.
No.
Far, that. Yeah,
I was,
saying,
I'll be
though,
lying to you. I was very surprised that Georgia just dropped one spot. Now, I'm not saying anything about that. I was just saying that the reason why committee moved them ahead is because of the quality wins Georgia had, and they beat that team. But, no, I would agree with you. I was very shocked. I was very shocked when I heard the committee only dropped Georgia one spot. And I think what even shocked me even more so was that they had a, it was a tough decision picking Oklahoma over Georgia.
Yes.
And,
yes. That's crazy.
That did not make any sense to me. Now, that did not at all. Not at all. I mean, that should have been the easiest selection for the committee, of picking Oklahoma.
And that's where the rest of the country, and that's where the rest of the country gets mad. Like, how do you get on TV and say that when they lost to a 4-8 team at home, and you got a two-loss conference champion sitting behind them when Georgia has two losses? I don't understand that. That to me is wild. And that's why I'm just saying, all of, overall, it seems like there's a bias too. We're gonna skew to the SEC. Because we feel like they're the best, we're always going to rank them higher. It come, you know, hella high water.
We're
going to drop them only one loss. I'm sorry. I just don't understand that, and the rest of the country does not understand that. And it's not doing anything to quell the whole notion from the rest of the country that there's an SEC bias. Not that the SEC is not a tough, and they probably are the best conference. I'm not saying that, but you can't take that to a whole other level. You put them over another two loss team who won their conference championship. That's crazy to me that they will put them over Oregon, and it just fuels the fire of, well, what are we doing here then? If you feel like they're the best, then we're already playing at a disadvantage. So that's me. I'm sorry, I did that, Dre. That's my fault. I watched that rankings and said, damn it, I had Peach Bowl tickets lined up, and you got me. I was gonna get to see my team play in person. Now I can't, because I'm not paying $3,000 to fly to frickin' Phoenix and for that craziness. Oh.
Man, but I don't understand it. You didn't have no problem when they moved Ohio State over LSU when they beat Penn State.
I had no problem with LSU moving Ohio State when they beat Alabama.
Moving on.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Ever.
Well,
my fault.
Yeah. No, we're gonna see it play now. And for us, Oregon's got to beat Wisconsin, and I think Oregon is favorite. I think they are.
Oh, they're going to win.
That very sure.
Yeah. Can I say this one thing, and we can move on? You know how happy I am, how giddy? I laughed out loud when I saw that Alabama had to play Michigan in the Citrus Bowl. Oh, I laughed out loud. It made me so happy because I'm going to root for all the other Big Ten schools in bowl games, but I am rooting for Alabama to drug a mud hole through Michigan. That is going
Jim
to be
Harbaugh.
I don't
yeah, Jim Harbaugh against Saban. Woo! Who's got the better personality?
Wow.
That ought to be a great meeting in the middle of the field there. Great.
How about Lane?
Again, it's going to be a whooping.
How about Lane Kiffin going to Ole Miss as the head coaching job? And he says the reason why he took it is to get revenge against Nick Saban. Wow.
Wow.
Ole Miss, Alabama won't be the same.
You can't say that out loud. You can't say that out loud. You can think that inside, but you can't say that out loud because you're still Ole Miss. Like, calm down, buddy. Like, relax. Don't say that out loud.
No.
Yeah, come on, Lane.
Wow.
I was going to say that, again, since we really weren't off the rails, and what a crazy night. Curtis, Gary, get your last little thoughts in. I don't know if Rob or Gary or JQ is going to be allowed to get any more thoughts because y'all just took the last hour. But
yeah, that's my fault. My bad, Rob. I'm sorry. I was a little bit about my peaceful ticket.
That was JQ's last thought. I just had to comment on it.
Yes, I am. Yeah, my bad.
I'm laughing because it's great. I'm laughing because it's kind of perfect for the show, too. So JQ was not joking about stay tuned for the show, man. He's like, I disagree.
Hey. This is what makes sports talks fun. That's what it's all about.
Oh my goodness.
And again, I'm sorry. LSU is a fantastic team, and Joe Burrow should absolutely win the Heisman Trophy in a landslide. That move he put on number 44 for Georgia in that championship game, we went whoop, and he went whoop again and threw a 76-yard pass. Hey, man, he won it right then and there. I think Joe Burrow is the Heisman. So, again, anybody listening, I'm taking nothing away from LSU. They are a fantastic team.
Curtis, Gary, what do you guys have as we wrap this up, man? Do you have anything special to talk about, any of the topics or anything like that or what?
No, I was just enjoying listening to this. This was great.
A lot of times college football gets heated. And what I don't want you to underestimate the passion that we have out here in the West with the Pac-12, and we know what kind of passion there is for football in the Southeast Conference. And like I said, I'm related to a bunch of people that you can't bet against Ohio State. You just can't. I'm related to a bunch of graduates from Ohio State. And when Ohio State gets it rolling, they have no problem feeling that Ohio State's going to win it all. None. No doubt in their mind Ohio State's going to win it all.
Clemson's a tough draw. Much respect to Dabo's playing that Clemson program. They're a tough draw.
True.
I want to talk about something scary and something, that hurts my stomach. There's 10 ex-NFL, they arrested 4, and they're going to end up arresting 10 NFL football players for fraud on their medical insurance. I got to look into that really hard. That was hard news before I came out here to be with Gary. That news came across the wire. And that's a hard thing for me to figure out what happened there with those 10 football players and their medical thing. They're all ex. There's no current ones. They're all ex-football players in the medical thing, medical fraud, some kind of thing.
I think it's 12 of them, what I'm seeing here now, 12 former players.
Yeah.
If they really look into it, it probably could be bigger.
That's scary for sure. Yeah, real scary. Just to kind of back up what you were talking about too, Curtis, it's interesting because just about the Pac-12, because whenever you kind of look at the history and you know, you're comparing we don't know that side of the Pac-12, like how passionate you guys are, because we know that the SEC, it's like football is a religion. And I don't know if it's kind of the same thing. I haven't been out West to see that per se. I know there's some love, but here South, it's a religion. So, you look at the conference and the teams. I mean, there's been USC's been pretty good, and they've kind of had their drops. And then every now and then you have some Oregon's. But I think you look at the conference itself, which that's what's kind of the strength of the conference is what kind of makes it. Because again, if every squad every year was tough and blah blah, that thing that has a different dynamic as far as with the Pac-12, because obviously, if you had 4 or 5 strong teams every year, that would kind of sway as far as a couple of things for sure, man. Because again, you've had a couple of ups and downs. Like I said, it's good for college football if USC is good. It's good if Oregon's good. It's good if Washington.
That's
if you have that consistency. I know, that's what I'm saying. Who else do you have? Arizona. Everyone. You need to have a strong conference all the way around. I know that's what Dabo's complaining about because ACC is kind of down. But again, if you have enough strongness around that, that makes the whole conference better, makes college football better in the end. So, that's kind of my
And Oregon has become a brand out there in the Pac-12. And if USC can get that thing going again, USC is a national brand. And, you know, and USC has the talent in their backyard, too. And if USC can get that train going,
UCLA back
that will get that Pac-12 train back in action. I think USC is the key. And
agreed.
They're the key to the Pac-12. Not that they have to win the Pac-12 every year, but they need that brand school. They need that brand school. I mean, Oregon has become that brand. But they need somebody else out there in the Pac-12. They really do. And I don't know if you guys saw Larry Scott's comments today about the Pac-12, you know, and not having a playoff team for 3 years in a row or something like that.
Yeah.
And but they need USC needs to be competitive in that Pac-12 to help them with their brand. And like I said, whether that means them winning it every year, I don't think it necessarily means them winning it every year, but they need to be competitive every year in order to help that Pac-12.
I agree.
Yeah, I
disagree with you.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, historically, USC was tailback you. Just, you know, historically was, you know, beating a whole bunch of Big Ten winners in the heydays, days of this football. They were. But this whole West, now, back here in the East, I'm not really sure how the recruiting goes. A lot of people are taking a lot of kids out of Texas. But here in California is the gold mine for BYU, for all the teams out here west, San Diego State, Oregon, Washington, they got so desperate. California is not keeping their kids. They can't. And their kids out of California are going all over the west. And the other spot that a lot of these west teams try to recruit, and they get a bunch of kids out of Hawaii. It's amazing that Alabama went and got a kid from Hawaii. They kind of figured out that Hawaii thing, and that's a thing that BYU has been figuring out for a long time, the kids out of Hawaii. But California, that whole state, the football is spread really thin. And if you look at all the teams out here at West, half the teams are kids from California.
I can't believe USC can't play healthy. Yeah, that's crazy.
The story I get there, you know, and I don't know exactly what they're being sued for, but that athletic department is like in the $40 million range of lawsuits that they're trying to settle at a USC. And I think that because they're not paying them. They're not paying them that, what you know, because everybody wants USC to get that big hire. And because they're selling them some kind of lawsuits out of that university. I don't know. Maybe they got something to do with Lane Kiffin. I don't know what exactly they're at on these lawsuits. That's why Lane Kiffin is still the coach of USC.
Well, and again, just to put a bow on that, you guys are absolutely right. And USC has to be. They are. You talk about it. I don't like to hear that about that, you know, being, but they beat a lot of Big Ten schools in the Rose Bowl when they were in their heyday. USC has to be, and you're absolutely right, Robin. I know I've disagreed with you about numerous things about this college football, this call, but you're absolutely right on that. USC has to be the face of the Pac-12. They have to be. I mean, Oregon is a great program, but they just still just don't have that kind of name recognition that they want to have that a USC has. And like you talked about, Curtis, is the fact that you're able to raid California. If you look at it, there's three states to me that have the most talent. It's California, it's Texas, it's Florida. And if you're USC, if you just draw a line around the state of Florida or California and recruit outside of it just a little bit for some of those top five, you know, top three or four, five rated prospects, but you keep your backyard in check, USC should always be a perennial powerhouse. So them falling on hard times is a death knell to the Pac-12. They have to be really good. Last time we saw was Vince Young and Reggie Bush and Lindell White and Leiner and all them. Mm-hmm. They have to have that kind of ability.
Did.
And
Yeah, absolutely. And another thing about Texas, when you talk about, you know, the Big 12 and Oklahoma doing their part, with Texas being 7-5, J.K. Dobbins is from Texas, went to Ohio State. When Ohio State offered him, he didn't even make a visit to Ohio State. He accepted the offer on the spot and went to Ohio State. Think about how damning that is to the University of Texas as a program, the flagship program in that state of Texas, where you have that kind of talent leaving to go to a program that he didn't even take a visit to in Ohio to go and not even say, you know what, let me see what the Longhorns is talking about. You know what I mean? So USC has that same kind of problem where those kids are entertaining offers from these other schools, these Oregons, the BYUs of the world, where they're not saying, you know what, USC or UCLA all day or nothing. And that has to happen for the Pac-12 in order for that to, for them to come back and not have this kind of problem where they're just an afterthought, where they're right behind Georgia at this point. It's just really weird, but those both of those schools, to me, have to find a way to secure their borders and keep those kids in state at those schools. And the same thing with Florida State and Miami, Clemson's problem in the ACC. Why is Florida State and Miami, why are they bad schools with all that talent in Florida? You secure the border, you keep those guys in Florida going to those schools, and you're a powerhouse every year. I don't understand what's happening with those four schools, but they got to find a way to rectify it.
Yeah. And I think right now, when you look at it from a recruiting standpoint, coaches are selling a vision. And I think coaches, that's what they're doing right now. They're selling a vision. And you look at Nick Saban, he's got a track record. And he's a, even though you're in Alabama, and Alabama has some decent in-state talent, but in order for them to be successful.
Not elite.
No, you're right. And they have a few every year, but in order for them to be successful, Alabama has to go to Louisiana. They have to go to Georgia. They have to go to Florida. They have to go to Texas. They have to recruit the nation in order for them to be successful. But they're successful because Nick Saban, he constantly puts players in the NFL, and he coaches them up. He historically has been one of the best defensive back coaches, even going back to the days at Michigan State. And so he's able to sell that to players. And I think that's what it's all about now. And right now, when you look at Clay Helton at USC, when you look at Dan Mullins in Florida, and now Mike Norvell in Florida State, Tom Herman in Texas, and out of all those coaches I just named, he's probably the one that has most of a track record is Tom Herman. But until they have something that they can sell to these players, and that's why, you know, Dabo Sweeney is able to go to Georgia and get players to come to Clemson. He's able to go to Florida and get players to come to Clemson now because, you know, of what they've been able to achieve. I mean, Trevor Lawrence right there from the Atlanta area. So he's able to go there because of the track record he's now been able to build. And now Ed Orgeron's got something to build on. I mean, what he's got going with Joe Brady and Joe Burrow. And now he's got something to go and sell. And that's what it is. And until those, as JQ mentioned, until those flagship schools, until those coaches could build something that they can sell, other schools are going to easily be able to go in there and get players.
Again, it's been an awesome time. We will wrap up the show.
Well,
the oh,
you're just waking up, dude.
Bro, I'm not, man. I'm going to sit back because you guys, I'm going to let you guys talk, man. And you know I had the
advantage. Yeah, bye,
man. I'm going to come after you, bro. It's fine. It is what it is, man. So, again, I can keep going. But for the sake of the show, and just shout out to Jared Culliver's brother, J.J. Culliver. I think he scored 100 points in the basketball. And that was you know, another record. Just, you know, what an amazing accomplishment. Just a little side note, if you will, too. But, again.
Luka Doncic, man, he's tearing up the NBA.
There it is. JQ, again, there's a lot of love, man. I wanted you to kind of have your rant, man, go all that. I think it makes the show fantastic, man. So, again, we appreciate that. You and Rob, that was classic. Curtis and Gary, at least we got some Cowboy talk. I know it's not the best talk to talk about Cowboys, so hopefully it was a well-rounded show, if you will, talk about football and then wrap it up with, you know, college football and then kind of bringing it back to full circle. But, Rob, let's go ahead and wrap this up in another great edition of Talking Sports as well, man.
Once again.
Well, with the Cowboys – well, what the Cowboys, it's show me. And all the fans out there, the Cowboys have got to show you what they're about. And that's what you got to look for.
Go Rams. Let's go. Yeah. Go Rams.
I think the Cowboys have already showed us. And,
that's a lie right there. That's a lie right there. They already showed us.
Oh, man.
That's, yeah, man. That's what I think, too.
It's bad when you're getting punked by the one-hit wonders. Man, it's bad.
Okay, Gary, I'll take a shot. You don't want me to respond to that, Gary.
Wow.
We might be here all night.
I know. I listened to your last.
Oh, man. Yeah, man, I'll tell you what.
Let's end this thing. Let's put it out of its misery.
We need a VHS player to watch the last Cowboys Super Bowl ball, but they still living on
that.
Oh,
my God.
Uh-oh. Man. Hey, that's right. That's right.
Congrats to you guys getting Garrett Cole. I know we didn't get to talk baseball. Congrats you guys getting Garrett Cole, too. The biggest freaking contract in history, man. Nuts.
Yes, go Yankees. All right, that's one thing Gary and I agree on. We both Yankees.
Oh, yeah, go Yankees. Yeah.
Oh, my God. All good. Anyway, go ahead, man. Wrap it up, damn it.
Big addition getting Garrett Cole. Let's go, Yankees. But,
damn it.
Yeah.
Well, we lost Didi to the Phillies, though, but hopefully we'll make up for that. But, ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for tuning in to another great edition with Talking Sports on the 12th Man. Hopefully you all love the debate between JQ and I. And we look forward to seeing a great college football playoff. As I mentioned earlier, 4 elite college football quarterbacks on display in college football playoff. Should be exciting. Go Tigers! But, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for tuning in. Again, we're going to be on back on Wednesday night on next week. It's going to be 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And our friends in Hawaii, it's going to be 5 p.m. Hawaiian time. We'll be back at you on Wednesday night on next week. We'll be recapping the NFL weekend, of course. We might or may not. Most likely we won't be talking about the Army-Navy game. Maybe we will. But we'll see on the show next week. Good night, people.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sorry, everybody. That was my fault. I had to get that off my chest because I wasn't really happy about it. But it is what it is. It's what makes, you know, talking sports fun. It's not fun. We always agree. So that gets us talking, gets the juices going. But I love my man Rob. And if Ohio State plays LSU, I will be sleeping on his couch in New Orleans. So I can go, okay. So it's all good. We appreciate y'all for listening to this show. We'll watch y'all next week.
If he's sleeping on my couch, I'm going to say, I'm going to make him say LSU is number one. Say LSU is number one.
That's it.
Yeah. That's it.
You got to record that if that happens. You got to record that, by the way. You say that. If JQ is there, whoever wins, the other team's got to say that. I think that's got to happen for sure, man. That's got to be posted.
I'm not making that bet.
I'm not talking about
bet. If I go down there.
I'm saying if you are there, if that comes down to that, whoever wins, that has got to happen, man. If Ohio State wins.
I don't want to look past Oklahoma right now. I want to make sure LSU beat Oklahoma.
Whatever.
I feel the same way about Clemson for sure. I feel more about Clemson than he feels about Oklahoma. So that was just tongue-in-cheek. Like, we both got tough games, so I'm not looking past nobody. But if that happens, I am definitely going to be on Rob Forrest's couch. Eating s'mores and drinking hurricanes. Like, let's go.
Yeah.
It'll be all good. I'll definitely show you around town. We have a good time.
Yes, sir.
I got to get back down there, Rob, man. That was some good eating down there.
Oh, yeah, man. Whenever you're ready, Doc, we'll have some fun. We'll have some fun. I got to get back up to Portland, too.
Absolutely. Yeah. Anytime. Everybody's welcome here. That's what I'd love to do. I'd love to have us do the show right here live, all of us together.
If we can
make that happen at some point, whether it's in Atlanta, whether it's in Portland, or anywhere.
I got fam out there too, for sure. But yeah, I'll be there next year, seriously. So stay tuned for that, guys.
All right.
Great show, people.
I got a guest room for you.
Absolutely. Good talk.
Yeah. Good night. I guess I'm sure Lay's going to talk junk to us too, man. But have fun, guys. Have a great evening again. Thanks for wrapping it up, JQ. Thanks for shout out to you, man, for holding it down while I was, again, out of pocket, say this to you. So a lot of love, man. Way to keep that teamwork going for sure, man. But good show, guys.
Team effort.
Until next week, man. Have fun, man. We'll talk soon.
All right. Good night, people.
Good night. Yep.